Have a seat. Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, aren't you glad that on Monday, Kate Davlar officially announced that spring's here, right? With her pink pants. Hey, so I'm just living into that today. It's sockless season. We are here. Spring is here officially. Just want to announce that. I won't pull them up too high. So, hey, but throughout this spring semester, we have been traveling through Colossians, which is a letter with no pictures today, which is a letter from the Apostle Paul, who is in to those who live in Colossae and the surrounding area. I already gave you the answer, who are under the rule and influence of the who advocate that Caesar is our Lord. I like it. Way to go. Way to go. Hey, throughout this letter, Paul is intentionally nurturing an alternative vision for the Colossians to grasp and live into. And the central focus of that vision is that Jesus, not Caesar, but that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Paul not only uses good theological teaching to build this vision into the lives of the Colossians, but he also uses good practical coaching. And one of those coaching tips that he offers to the Colossians is in the third chapter, the first part of verse 16, where Paul writes this: "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let the word of Christ dwell in you, live in you, inhabit you, make its residence in you, take up its home in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, extravagantly, that it has priority and prominence in your life. Because Paul knows this, that if a person or a community fully grasp this reality of getting the word of God in you, it can change a person or a community's life. Because Paul understands the power that the word of God has to transform people and communities and institutions from the inside out. And so that's why Paul is so strongly advocating to the Colossians to get the word of God in their bellies. And there's only one way to get the word of God in our bellies, and that is through the spiritual discipline of eating the word of God or meditating on the word of God, which are the same things. Let me show you what I mean. Let me take you to the first part of Psalm 1. Listen to what the psalmist says. He says, "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night." Now, the Hebrew word for meditate here in Psalm 1 is haggah, which in this context means to chew. So, to meditate on God's word is to chew the word of God, to eat the word of God, and to do that day and night. And so this is the discipline that Paul is calling the Colossians to do, to eat the word of God. If we want the word of God to take up residence in our life, to dwell in our life, we have to eat it, we have to chew it, we have to swallow it, so it impacts the way that we live. Now let me suggest to us two different ways in which we can practically apply the spiritual discipline of eating the Word of God or meditating on the Word of God in our lives. The first is through regular scripture reading. Now, let me take you back to Psalm 1 that I just recited to you. The psalmist says, "And they meditated," or ate God's Word, "day and night." Now, this pattern of day and night and night and day calls us back to the creation account in Genesis 1, where God is creating, and after he's creating, he's establishing order and rhythm. God creates, and there is evening, and there is morning, there is day, and there is night, and there is night and day. And by the author of Psalm 1, borrowing this kind of language, he is conveying that the people of God need to establish a lifestyle where regular scripture meditation is a part of their routine or the rhythm of their lives. Now, I know some of you here, that's a routine or a rhythm of regular scripture reading that you have built into your lives. But I know there's some here that that's not a rhythm of their lives, but maybe you're saying to yourself, I want that to be a part of my life. And if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to shoot me an email, and I'll help you get started with that, or for some of us, I'll help us get restarted with regular scripture reading. That's the first way in which we can apply the practical spiritual discipline of scripture meditation. Here's the second. It's through scripture memorization. Now, even as I say that, I know some of you are going, nope, that's not me, Boris. I can't memorize scripture. Don't want to memorize scripture. It freaks me out. Can't do it. Can't even memorize Jesus. Wep. So, okay. I'm telling you, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Everyone here is capable of memorizing scripture. How do I know that? Because you guys are capable of memorizing all kinds of other stuff. You can memorize words of song, lines from movies. You can memorize complicated math formulas. You memorize different tense forms of foreign languages. You memorize important dates of history for your history classes. You can memorize. I know some of you guys here, you have the batting averages memorized of your fantasy baseball players. You guys can memorize. You memorize the cell phone numbers of your boyfriend, girlfriend. You can memorize. I know you can. Here's the question, though. The question is, what do we give priority to in our memorization? Huh. I think that's the key issue. So during this season of Lent, I've committed to the spiritual discipline of eating or meditating on God's word, centering on the life of Jesus. And I'm doing that in the two ways that I just said to you, challenged to you. One, I'm daily just reading through the four gospel accounts found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm just doing that regular reading through this time of Lent. And then the other one is through scripture memorization. And I've picked out four biblical texts that focus on Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of God. The first text that I've memorized comes from Isaiah 53, where the prophet Isaiah is talking about the coming Messiah being the suffering servant. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others. He was a man of suffering, acquainted with infirmities. And as one whom from others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he bore our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet, we held him of no account. But, it's coming to me right now, yet he was struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that has made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All of us are like sheep who have gone astray. We have each turned to our own ways. Yet the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of all of us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shears is silent, he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich. Yet there was no violence in him, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring, and he shall have his days prolonged. Through him the will of the Lord will prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light, and he shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured himself out even to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sins of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. It's a great text that I've been memorizing over and over again. And if you want to know the other three texts that I'm memorizing, shoot me an email and maybe we can memorize them together. The Apostle Paul challenges the Colossians to let the word of Christ dwell in them richly. I too want to echo that challenge to us here at the Hope Community. And we can do that through regular scripture reading, through scripture memorization. And let me offer one last suggestion before we go. We're going to start a new Talmudim group. A Talmudim group is a group of folks coming together, taking a portion of scripture, memorizing it, reflecting on it, and praying through it. We're going to start a new Talmudim group this Sunday, and it's going to move through the four Sundays leading up to Easter from 6:30 to 7:30 at night in the basement of Dibnit Chapel. It's another way you can come together with others and eat and chew on and swallow the Word of God. We're going to be memorizing and reflecting on Colossians 1, 15 through 20. So, if you want to be a part of that, you don't need to sign up. Just show up this Sunday, basement of Dibnit Chapel at 6:30. Listen to these final words from the prophet Jeremiah. I found God's word, and when I found it, I ate it, and it became a joy and a delight to my heart. That's my desire for all of us, that the word of God, that we would take it, that we'd eat it, chew on it, and swallow it, and it would become a joy and a delight to our hearts. Let it be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace.